You have not mentioned a single player that I would even consider drafting yet in this entire show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite show in the whole wide world. It's Under the Radar. A very special edition of Under the Radar today. Ian's not here. Even though, like, if I'm like, hey, you know, I don't think I can make the show. Ian's like, there's no way we're doing the show without. We're all for one. So Ian just dipped to go do something with some three-letter organization. I don't even know. Like, he just put three letters down, and he's like, I gotta meet with them. So in his place, we got a sub. And a sub we've been talking about for a while. But first, let me bring in Derek Van Ryman.
Hey. I'm glad we brought somebody in with acting experience. It's really important to maintain balance on the show.
Yeah, as we were about to start, he's like, let me tell you about my movie deal. Let's save it for the show. So a man who needs no introduction but sent me like a 10-paragraph introduction that he wanted me to read for him anyway. A little disappointing. I thought DVR has been pushing so much against having him on the show for about 2 years now because he's so anti-four-man booth. I think it's just time that we bring him on. Say hello, everybody, to Mike the Mouth. Mike Masato, what's up, man?
Pretty good, Nando. I give that about a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. I mean, you should have read the entire intro I sent you, but it's fine.
You said you needed no introduction. Oh, I'm sorry. One of the greatest all-time high-stakes players in the entire world. He's got the same Zoom background as Chris Vaccaro, who he claims is his hero. Mike the Mouth. A man so big in the high-stakes industry, he has several drafts named after him, and Greg and Tom allow that to happen. Mike, we actually met. We met after. So the legend of Mike the Mouth, I knew before because I was doing a high stakes draft with Vaccaro, and you were setting up your private table in the back where everyone got like gift bags. I think like copies of a book. I believe you had Lisa Ann was like the celebrity draft caller auctioneer. But I looked over there, I'm like, Vaccaro, man, they're getting gift bags? He's like, yeah, it's a Mike the Mouth draft. I'm like, all right, tell me about
it. You were calling little Easter baskets. You were like all happy because you wanted one yourself, so I got you a basket. So you were all happy.
I never got it. Never made its way to me, Mike.
Yes, a lot's changed over the years with the MTM drafts. With Lisa Ann is no longer with us. I don't mean like dead. I just mean like dead to me, which is a whole different story. That's fodder for another show as we go into that. But yeah, that was about a 7, Nando. You got to do about a 7 on that. You know, the Godfather. You know, you're the Godfather of a show. Because I know Ian, I know you get even Ian to show off. He is the great talent on this show, and it's unfortunate he's not with us today. Because he is the rock, the anchor, the talent of the show. And I'm sorry he's not on here. And I'll tell you why I'm buttering him up like a New York Bialy in a little while. But that's for another part of the show.
Oh, thank you for that tease. Well, I'm better with the outro. I'll get you a 10 outro.
Okay.
DVR, how come you didn't want Mike the Mouth on the show for so long?
I'll answer that question for him because he wanted to keep his job, basically, is what at The Athletic. You know, the guy just wins a major award. Like, by the way, congratulations for winning that award, DVR. I sent you my congrats. So you figured that show won the award. So all bets are off now. He can do whatever he wants now. He's got artistic license to do whatever he wants on this show.
Yeah, DVR, how does that feel, man? Award-winning Derek Van Riper.
I mean, it's a team award, so I'm sharing that with Eno Saris and Britt Ciroli, but it feels good. And Mike guaranteed that this show will win the award because of this episode, which sets the bar very, very high.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who claims he's so great at these podcasts, Mike's comes in a little scratchy, and he said he didn't want to talk about Greg Bird first, so we got to flip the whole rundown.
This will be the highest-rated show in Athletic podcasting history. After it's released, it will be that. That's the bar I'm setting right now for you, DVR, just so you know that. All right?
Sounds like we're going to get a lot of those 4-second listens. Like, oh, we have 10,000 4-second listens from Malaysia.
Mysteriously, we bought listeners for one episode. Where did that come from? The analytics team reaches out like, DVR, how did you get 100 million people to listen to this podcast? I don't know.
The influence of Mike the Mouth.
Mike the Mouth went on Fiverr.com. Yeah.
You guys talk about like this, like I know technology or something like that. You know, you give me, it's a miracle I have a microphone, anything, you know. I'm old, bro. You guys, I don't look it, but you know, I mean, this is no way. It's a miracle that I have all this stuff. So take what you got. That's the way it is.
Mike, I had a bunch of questions lined up for you. I want to talk to you in a little bit about how you're putting up your own money to get people into the high stakes leagues, and maybe how some of our listeners could possibly get in on that.
Yeah.
But you know, I wanted to lead because I know it's all fun and games, and like, you know, you're a big personality on Twitter. But you are like a legitimate, smart, hardcore, like, you know, hang with Rob Silver fantasy baseball guy. And I want to ask this question for you because you're coming on the show. And you're telling everybody you want to do, first of all, we're the first stop on the Mike the Mouth podcast tour, and we're very flattered and honored. But like you basically, I just want to know, like, you're a good fantasy player. A lot of high stakes players don't like coming on shows before the season because they don't want to reveal their players they like and they're kind of their biases and everything. And I've always kind of been like, you know what? If someone wants to snipe a guy from me or go like an extra $2 in an auction, they're kind of screwing themselves because they're messing up their team just to spite me. I don't know if that's your philosophy. You just, you know, have a devil don't care attitude. But like, what is it with you that a lot of these high stakes players don't have where you're like, I don't care. I'll come on and talk about anybody and tell you what I feel about them.
Yes, I think my devil may care attitude just got Beelzebub's attention right now. But but I don't know. I'm not. I feel like you said you made a good point. If people are coming on here listening to me to find out what I'm going to do in my drafts, then you know you're just going down the wrong path. But you know, I'm not going to give away the farm today. I won't tell you that much for sure. But yeah, I mean, you got to be. If I'm going to talk, you know, the crap that I first of all, is there a censor button going to be in post production, or am I allowed to say whatever I want to say? There's going to be beep. The DVR is nodding. That there's going to be a censor button. So at this point, so if something slips out, DVR, you're going to have to just beep it out later. Okay. I'm just sorry. That's just Jersey. We use the F word every other sentence in Jersey. You know how it is. And but if you're going to talk talk this crap that I talk, you better be able to back it up, you know, walk the talk. So yeah, I talk a lot of crap, but the whole idea is, you know, you go out and bring it. And I think there should be more personalities in fantasy baseball because I think it's the best fantasy sport by far that's out there. It's a thinking man's fantasy sport. You know, you have to be, you know, I think a pretty smart person to be able to play, especially at the level of the National Fantasy Baseball Championship, which is, you know, look, the best by far. I mean, I give Greg and Tom a lot of crap and I, you know, that's out there, but it is the best contest going. I mean, and I know you compete in it. I think you make the vague attempts to compete in it, Nando. I think DVR does as well. We'll talk about your drafting strategies later, DVR, in the show. But when you win in those leagues, you're beating the best players in the world at this point. And I've had some success, and I've made myself into a better player because I think when you first get in the NFBC, a lot of people get their asses kicked. That's what happened to me in the beginning too. It's a wake up call.
Oh, dude, back when I was, this is like Wall Street Journal days, like 2008, 2009, Greg and Tom gave me a free entry into, you know, just come check it out, jump in one of these leagues. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I'll take these guys down. I'm an expert. And I got smoked, man. It's like, you're like, oh yeah, I guess it makes sense. These guys are putting up $1,500 each. they're putting a little research.
Didn't you help write the book? I think you were famous for a fantasy book, weren't you?
I was a research assistant on Fantasyland.
Yes, I read that book. And that's part of the one many, many years ago, Nando, just so you know that. I read the book and I'm like, who the hell is this Nando guy? Very ethnic dude in his book, this guy hired here. So it's pretty cool, you know.
I appreciate you pronouncing it correctly, man. That's all.
Yeah, man, we're full of paisans, man. That's it. So
that's right.
If I can't pronounce an Italian name right, I'm going to lose my Italian card. That's going to be it. So, but yeah, man. So going out there and, you know, the live events, you know, being there. I mean, it's the World Series of Poker kind of, you know, environment when you're doing these live events. And I always like to make it be like a social thing and you know, go all out, whether we're doing big parties in Vegas or, you know, live events in New York. And, you know, this will be the 10th anniversary this year in Manhattan of the MTM Ultimate, which is a $5,000 entrance fee, $40,000 league prize. I'm one of two players in the league in 10 years that have won it twice in the league. The other one being Joe Thielen, who's about 90 years.
Oh, you've won your own league. That's now I know why DVR wanted you on here.
Right.
You two create leagues so you can win them, basically.
Well, I mean, the first, that's no slouch league. The first year we had that league in that the players in that league, we had about $750,000 in lifetime earnings sitting around that table, and a couple of Hall of Famers are there. So it's not no slouch league every year too. So that's a great, good time. And it's like a home league feel for, you know, Fort Knox kind of investment, but it is a great time when you win that league. And, you know, plus, you know, I do have four or five main events every year. I do a lot of other leagues. This year we're premiering the two first time ever $2,500 draft and hold DCs. So this is the first time ever we're going to have a $2,500 entry fee for Super DC, which is a $20,000 first prize, 15 players in the league. So pretty cool stuff.
DVR, you haven't said anything at all this show. Go ahead, man.
I was just thinking about the higher stakes DCs, right? The draft and hold format is fun. Like, for me, it's a great prep for main events or online championships. Like, no matter what you play, it forces you to just dig into the depths of the player pool, and you could start them up, you know, early in draft season. But without in-season moves, Mike, it really never occurred to me that you'd want to make that a higher stakes format. So I think that's the craziest of the leagues you play in. You play in some legitimately really difficult leagues with unbelievably high stakes for a person like me. But what compelled you with the draft and hold format to go to that next level.
Well, if you haven't figured out, I'm a little off my rocker. Have you figured that out, DVR, over the years? I think you have. But I'm a kind of guy who likes to push the envelope a little bit and, you know, throw it out there. I mean, there's a platinum draft in the NFBC, which doesn't get a lot of, because it's kind of one of those dark web kind of events that no one wants to talk about because it's not out there on registration, you know. But it's like, that was like, that's a $15,000 entry fee that the people put up to, you know, win, I forget, the 125, I want to say, for the first prize. So, I mean, that's a true lottery, amazing lottery ticket if you pull that one off. And that was one of the ones I pushed many years ago. I was in the first platinum ever with a partner, you know, way back when. Haven't done it since the beginning. I aspire to do so again, but I just like to play in more other leagues and diversify, so I don't lop it only one league. That's how far they go up to. So I pushed for that, and Greg said, oh, that's not going to happen. I said, have the field of dreams mentality. You put it out there, they will come. And sure enough, they filled up the platinum draft. Well, the DC, same thing. I got the okay. I put it out there. I had that league filled in less than 24 hours. You know, I didn't have to make one text, reach out to one person. People lined up for it, man. They love the thrill of the competition and to challenge themselves. And yeah, when you're going to lay that kind of money out and draft, like I said, 50 players, and that's it. That's what you got to work with for the entire season, man. You better know your stuff. You better know your player pool and cover yourself and know strategy. And yeah, it's a whole different angle. Yeah. So I agree with you, man. It's not for the faint of heart.
All right. Mike the Mouth. By the way, you can follow him at Godfather NFBC if you're so inclined, if you're enjoying what you hear. I'm a big fan of show don't tell. So I think we've done a lot of telling. Let's do a little showing. Let's tap some people who are listening. You know, they hear the personality. I think they get some meat on here, man. Like, let's talk some players. DVR wants to know what he did wrong in the Mike the Mouth DC League in January. DVR, did you put these in here, the things you thought you did wrong, or were you saying where Mike has already kind of taken a look at your team and kind of crapped on it?
No, so I just dropped in the first 15 rounds or so, just so the foundation was fresh. I mean, I had the second pick, so I went Tatis, Flaherty, Albies in the first three rounds. Aaron Judge over Randy Arozarena was something I did that I regretted almost immediately, and I still regret it, I think, a month later. Sonny Gray, Yordan Alvarez, Max Muncy, Nick Anderson, Chris Bryant, and then Victor Robles, who I think I've got everywhere. So that was my first 10. I think I've got this format down enough to realize that you can't take on too much playing time risk. Without in-season moves, you obviously need guys in the late rounds especially who just have a job, who are going to play. You can't get prospect happy. You can't take on too much injury risk. You'll end up with zeros. You end up with zeros, you're not going to win. But within that foundation, did I have enough balance, or did I just completely throw away $150 in that league last month?
You're asking me that question?
No, he doesn't value my opinion. He doesn't ask me anything.
Nando, there's a reason why I didn't ask you. I've seen your dress, Nando, okay?
I'm on a four-year winning streak.
Yeah. Of what? With who? With Vaccaro helping you out?
Vaccaro.
Yeah.
Well, I'm helping Vaccaro out. That's how I like to think about it. Vaccaro. Wait, no, you had it right the first time. Sorry. Yeah.
As a football guy, you got to help the guy out, Ben. So it's I sat next. The funny story is I sat next to Vaccaro one time in the main event. Like, I was drafted. I had the one pick in that main event. He was two. And all he did is, it was the most miserable experience of his entire life. You know, I'm sitting next to him, like, busting his balls, taking his picks the whole time and whatever. We just went back and forth the whole time. But he's a good guy. I bust his shots. But it was just funny because I didn't know, you know, who he was at the time. We were just sitting next to me, and it was like, you know, that's the kind of drill you don't want to have sitting next to me during a draft, because I like to talk, you know, some crap during a draft. List will tell you that too. You know, Chris List.
Oh, yeah, Vaccaro. No, man. Vaccaro is like blinders on, like, dude, like, do not talk to me extraneously unless it's about this pick we're about to make.
Exactly.
In 30 minutes.
Right. But yeah, so when you're on a 1 minute clock live, that's a whole different experience, right? Like that.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't help when someone's in your ear, like, chattering and giving you a hard time and whatever. But when we did this Zoom a little bit, we did this draft a little bit Zoom, which was fun too, DVR, which was what we did a good, so we got to see old DVR's reactions of disgust every time someone sniped him or took a pick or he blow. I love guys like DVR. Like, when they make a bad pick, they know immediately. He's like, ugh. You know, he knew that right away when he made the pick. You know, he was commenting on my picks. And that was a draft I started. Yelich, Bichette, Devers, Glasnow, you know, Framber Valdez, which he once talked about, Aroldis Chapman. And so from there, so he was like, good pick. And then we get to his picks. He doesn't like his picks. You know, that's how it goes. But so, you know, you can't go wrong with Tatis to start off with. I mean, Flaherty, you could debate. You could have taken Luis Castillo, was still available there. You could have taken Castillo over Flaherty. I might have went that in direction instead. And, you know, no qualms about Albies, but then you started tanking your draft around round four. with the judge pick, you know, over, you know, you got to go big or go home DVR in these drafts. Come on, man. What is the, where's the upside for Aaron Judge, who can't stay on the field? You know, I mean, not everybody can be like me and take roids and perform so well. You know, Judge can't take the roids. It doesn't work with him. So, you know, that's why he's like 290 pounds and, you know, and get injured all the time. You know, too many problems. So what was your thinking there?
I think he still has that crazy high power ceiling. The problem, though, is that you start to run out of guys that can get you 20 plus bags who have a pretty good hold on their job, right? I mean, you can find some players that are more like Judge in the middle rounds. You could find maybe a Franmil Reyes who pops 40 in a good year. That's the problem I have with that pick. Randy Arozarena's risky. We're talking about a guy that had fewer than 100 plate appearances in the regular season, was obviously great in the playoffs. My concern with Arozarena is that teams didn't have enough time to really figure him out. And I think he's going to go through a pretty gross adjustment phase, at least early in 2021. How quickly he adjusts to what they start throwing at him early in the season will determine whether or not he's a great pick in that round three, round four range, or if he's actually one of the bigger busts inside the top 50, top 60 overall this year.
Do you talk about Franmil Reyes, the guy I got in the 12th round, which you could have in the 12th round instead? That guy? All right, that guy? Yeah, but here's the thing about Randy Arozarena, and I see a lot of stuff.
Well, you can't get him in the 12th round if you got a DVR in your draft, though, to be fair. I mean, a couple of those guys show up, you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. I'm ruined. But the thing about Arozarena, like, and here's the thing. I mean, if you watch baseball a little bit, and I watch a ton of baseball, like nonstop, that's my thing. And, you know, you saw him in the postseason, and like, you have to remember, he's doing this against the best pitching, right, in the major leagues at the time, right? You're not going against anybody's fifth starter, you know, during these leagues, and you can see the guy making adjustments, that bat speed, the adjustments he's made in his swing, the exit, it wasn't like he's some kind of no-name prospect either. You know, and I saw glimpses of him with the Cardinals against the Mets, and I saw him hit it was a game. I think he hit a couple of homers, stole a couple of bags. I'm like, who's this dude? So the guy's got that in him, right? And, you know, last year, people were drafting Luis Robert, you know, and it's not Lou Bob. So if I hear anybody say the word Lou Bob anymore, freaking, I'm like, just because you're a fantasy analyst doesn't make you be a right? So making up nicknames. I said, I just love you to go walk up to Luis Robert one day in public and say, hey, Lou Bobs, how you doing? See what his reaction is. I punch you in the freaking face. All right. That was the case, you know. But so Luis Robert last year was getting drafted where? Third round. He had third round helium by the time drafts came. That guy didn't have one single at bat, you know, in the major leagues, and it was acknowledged that he had holes in his swing, right? And he had just hit 30 homers in the minors. He had none the year before, right? So people draft, and last year, if he drafted him there, okay, great. He disappointed a little bit, but he still gave you how many bags, how many homers, and whatever. He's only going to take a step up. Arozarena is coming into this season on absolute fire. The guy proved it, you know, for how many games in the majors. So I don't know why people are so worried about the guy. Okay, maybe he won't, you know, but how many, the projection systems, everyone's I've seen, he's one of only the five players that they're projected to hit, have 30 homers and 30 bags, right? So if you get somewhere near that vicinity and decent bat, why that's not a bad pick there. I don't think you're going to go wrong with that pick at all. And I don't see how he's going to be sitting start the year for the, you know, Tampa Bay does a lot of crazy crap with their lineup, but you're really going to spend a lot of time putting Arozarena on your bench. So I'm all in for that pick. I think people that are in the know are.
Do you shy away? Like, so I've got issues with Tampa Bay. I mean, unless you're like Tsutsugo, who's going to be late, and I kind of like him for a high power upside maybe, and just kind of adjusting the second year. Like what you just said, like Tampa Bay does weird stuff, man. And Oakland does it too. And I tend to stay away from a lot of Tampa Bay and Oakland players because I just can't take it. You play the same way? Do you have those same kind of worries?
Yeah, it depends on the player, man. I mean, you know, someone's got to play every day. I mean, right? There are certain.
Do they? It seems like they rotate everybody.
Yeah, talented
like
players. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to rotate. If Austin Meadows is doing well, you're going to take him out of lineup every day. If Arozarena is tearing up, you're going to take him out of lineup every single day. You know, to do matchups for your secondary and tertiary guys? I don't think so. Pitching is one thing, hitting is another story, right? So I just think they'll do more tendency to screw with the pitching than they will the hitting. But hey, you know what? Look, there's always risk involved, man. Every pick you take, there's risk. How many guys in the early rounds bust DVR every single year, right? You know, if I look back on my drafts last year where I won and did well, you know, I could say I didn't win because of my first three or four picks all the time. It was like you hit gold in the middle rounds, you know, and hitting a Voit or a Grisham and a Seager back to back to back in the middle rounds last year. That was a boom. I wouldn't go, okay, oh, wow. You know, because even, and there was guys last year that busted early on. So yeah, could he bust? Sure, but so can anybody. And if you want to put bust potential, I'd bet more on judge busting than a Rosarena. You know, I mean, that's just fact, right?
What's a judge bust to you? Is a judge bust an injury bust where he only plays, you know, gets 275, 300 at bats? Because, I mean, you can't worry, like, in that small sample, like, the talent's there, right? It's just the bust is the injury.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that the talent's not there. I mean, same thing with Stanton. I mean, not that the talent is, when he hits the freaking ball, it's just, it's like, you know, crazy. But it's a matter, can these guys stay on the field? You know, and in this era, baseball players, I mean, the most fragile, you know, athletes around, they give everybody a day off. I go back to the good old days. I mean, you think about these guys, the legendary players like Lou Gehrig said he used to play with broken bones in his hand, you know, at this point, right? Guy gets a hangnail now, he's out for a month. It's like, come on, man, or a blister. So it's a whole different era, man. They're going to protect these players and, you know, he's not going to play. So I don't see him staying on the field. He could, and if he does, right? But maybe, I think maybe his best year he had is, I think he may have had his career year already. Right, it might have been his rookie year. That year that was his rookie year, right? That he went insane. So who knows? So I just, like I said, I think DVR knows, he's in 100% agreement that Judge was a bad pick, right there. So
that's because DVR isn't a Rosarena guy, yeah. Though.
No, the other thing that made me do it in the moment too is that Tatis and Albies are both going to run. I had two hitters already that were going to get bags, and if I thought part of the appeal with the Rosarena was another boost in stolen bases, I didn't necessarily need steals as much as I needed a big boost in power, because Albies is not going to hit more than 25 homers. I just don't see that coming from him. And Tatis, I mean, sure, he's awesome. Doesn't matter. 35 plus with bags, that's great. But a big home run bat there actually made sense, because I felt like my first two picks did actually bring enough speed. The early round question I have for you, this was a draft where you went Yelich, Bichette, Devers, like you said, three hitters up top. We're not seeing a lot of people comfortable doing that. We're seeing a lot of people jam in two pitchers in the first three rounds in some cases, at least two in the first four or five rounds. You ended up with Glasnow, Valdez, Aroldis Chapman, and Urias. So 4 through 7, all pitchers. Glasnow, I don't think there's any debate about the talent. I mean, it just comes down to whether or not he stays healthy. If he gets a third pitch, he could be a top five starting pitcher. I think that's within the range. But Valdez, he's another guy, kind of like a Rosarena, did it in a shortened season. At least he was out there all year. Everything looks pretty good under the surface. It's just hard for me to trust him as an SP2, to trust him inside the top 75. So what is it about Valdez that gives you some confidence that he can deliver at that elevated price tag?
Well, look, first of all, you know, you have to adjust when the draft gives you. I didn't want to have 12 was not my choice to wear. That's like that. That's a rough area this year, I think. I don't want to be between like 10 and 12, 13, that area. It's a rough call, and where these pitchers went. So you have to get creative like this. So am I going to like just jump pitchers that I don't really want to jump, you know, there, or if I, like in that case, I want a Bichette in the second there. So, you know, I passed on maybe a Nola or a Buehler, you know, whatever. So in that case, by the time round three rolls around, you know, all right, well, I'm not going to just push somebody up to stick of pushing them up. So I'm going to mine for pitchers that I think have the breakout potential. I mean, I may not do this in a main event and go this route particular, but for this type of draft, why not? Because you can build later. I'm confident in my ability to pick up, you know, potential breakout starters later. So you take a Glasnow, who at that point had the biggest upside talent in the fourth round. Like you said, he learns how to, I think a lot of us also learning how to pitch. You know, guys can get by on less than, you know, three pitches, but it's like you watch the guy pitch. It's like, if this dude could just learn how to pitch, man, it's like six. Because in the innings he does and he's unhittable. It's just crazy what he can do. I mean, in the 14, was it 14 K per nine, some crazy number like that. It's just sick. You know, I think, you know, one of the highest K percentage. So it just, see the guy pitch, it's just frustrating, infuriating as all hell, you know, and then put him on Tampa. Well, okay, we'll yank him 4 2/3. He's out. Right. You know, kind of thing. So, but if he just takes that next step, forget it. And then Valdez, a few things, you know, and all the skills took a nice jump. You know, I mean, the K percent went up, the ground ball percent is elite. That's out there. Now we're going into the quote unquote dead ball year of the new ball potentially. So that ball.
Oh, and the five new humidors.
Yeah, the five new humidors, dead ball potential. You know, I'd rather grab a guy on the way up. I think maybe on the way up for Valdez. And more than anything else, just to let you know, the inside scoop is he has the Lindy Hinkleman seal of approval. So that's all you need to know. Okay. So once Lindy, you know, I the thing about me over the years, I must have about 500 NFBC players in my cell phone. You know, that I have contacts because I know them for over the years. So I'm always like in communication with different players, you know, guys in there. And, you know, I always glean some bits of information. And so when I took Valdez in one draft, that Lindy was in, he's like, oh, Valdez, hey, question mark. You know, I said, yeah, why? He's like, oh, yeah, I would think. So when Lindy gives the approval there, you know that he's onto something. So for fans out there listening, Lindy now will never get Vermeer Belt. There's any draft he's in. Thanks to me. That's all you need to know, DVR. Screw the analysts. Screw what everybody else is saying. If Hinkleman's picking him, you know, that's all you need to know.
For those of you who don't know, Lindy Hinkleman is a he's not a pig farm. I mean, he owns like pig farm. He's like a one of the winningest, if not the winningest, fantasy baseball high stakes players in the entire world, which puts him up there as probably the best fantasy baseball player ever.
Well, he is a retired pig farmer now. So
retired pig farmer.
Yeah, so he just sits in his barn all now and watches games and drafts. That's what I endeavor to do. I'll sit in my garage and just draft and follow some fantasy baseball every day. So you know, but this guy's won the main event. Twice, you know, when you win the main event twice in that's like a pretty amazing feat against several hundred of the top players in the world to do it two times, you know, too. And he's also an NFBC Hall of Famer. So again, great guy, knows his stuff. And, you know, you those are the guys you want to see. What are they doing? Who are they on? Right.
Unless he's messing with you, Mike, unless he's messing with you.
I don't think Lindy needs to throw me off any of his picks.
Lindy won the overall for the main and for the online championship.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that little part.
And the online championship's an even bigger field because it's a smaller entry fee. It's insane. Lindy is enough of a reason to draft a player. There's like nobody else in the world where you could just be like, oh, yeah, Lindy likes that guy. And everybody else will just go, okay, he's good.
In the same year, he won that year. So you're talking, that was a double win in the same year. So you won the combo of those as well in the same year. So this is turning into the Lindy Hinkleman show.
Yeah, we're going to bring on Lindy in about 5 minutes. Thanks, Mike. We're texting him right now. Yeah. Hey, we got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you a question. You talked about, because, you know, I play like this, and it's just a strategy question. You said, like, I'm not going to jump a guy because I don't want him. You know, like, if the pitcher's not there for me, I'm not going to take him. And then you're going to build it up later. Like, do you look at that more like in round 16 to 25? You're going to take some of these high upside, you know, maybe they'll throw 140 innings youngsters. Or are you looking more like, or maybe this is a combination of both, or maybe this is too granular, but like, you know, in rounds 30 through 50, because the draft champions, you get a ton of picks. Like you go super deep and you can really take, you know, like Michael Bauman, you know, you can take a shot on like an Orioles guy who's very close. How do you build up? If you don't take it early, are you thinking, let me get a few guys in the middle rounds, or let me just attack the crap out of it very late and just pick like five or six borderline starters and hope one of them hits?
So for those of you listening to get fantasy baseball advice on this show, do never take a Baltimore Orioles pitcher, period.
Right? He's the first guy I can think of.
Yeah, first of all, especially late, okay? It's bad enough taking one earlier in the draft, let alone mining for a Baltimore Orioles pitcher that may break. When's the last time that happened?
Steven Gonsalves could make the Red Sox rotation. Would you shoot him like 48?
No. I'm looking at this thing that DVR posted here. You posted your end of the draft and hole end your draft and hole end game here, right? Right.
Don't dodge the question, Mike.
Right. You know, and all I could think of when I looked at this is like, you know, the idea of draft. You don't go out to your garage, right, and pull like the baseball cards out of your spokes of your bike and say, "I'll draft these guys."
These guys are amazing. This end game is amazing.
Yeah. So, but I like, no, I mean, I don't think you're going to find, look, when you're talking around 30 to, you know, 50 or whatever it is, you're going to look for guys that are going to come up in the season, you know, younger guys. And hopefully you have those, you know, those breakout performance, like a Soroka, you know, like years ago when he came up or something like that. Hope you're hitting striking gold and one of those guys. There's a bunch of those guys this year. But by the teens, I would say in one of these high stakes leagues, if you really want to get a guy who's going to get some innings in from the guy, you're going to have to get him probably in the teens. That's what I would say.
So I'm like, yeah, because some people might just get sniped, or like they might be in a draft. And this is even speaking to like regular drafts where all of your league mates might have read the same article. You know, say you're playing on ESPN and Eric Carabel wrote an article about how you got to go pitching early and everyone knocks the pitchers off the board. And you're like, well, I'm screwed. I'm just going to, all these bats are falling to me. Let me get bats in the first three or four rounds and then switch to pitchers, you know, round 6, 7, 8, 9 and start attacking there. But when you still got to make up some pitcher, you know, you got to hit a certain number of strikeouts, certain ERA, certain whip. That's all I wanted. Like, how do you make up for something like that? If the start of the draft guys you don't like, or guys who are being sniped left and right from you?
Well, sometimes you don't. I mean, yes. That's the other thing too. Sometimes you're screwed, especially in these jets, when you're playing against, it depends what kind of competition you are in, right? You know, so you know, you have to read the room, see who is at your table. I mean, I know the players, I know what I'm sitting down to. I can tell, you know, there's different levels of competition at the table. You know, when you go in there, where I might take a risk in letting a guy go a couple more rounds, I don't mean I have to jump him as much, but then I'll know, hey, look, I've drafted with this guy 4 or 5 times in the preseason and he's all over this dude. And I do know, and I do remember that. So I'm going to jump him now. I mean, and that's gamesmanship. You do that. You know, unlike poker, you know, when you have the luck of the draw with the cards, right? A lot of times you have some control over your picks here in this draft and you know who your competition are, and you just grab them, you know, and you just go for it. And at that point, because there are times, and remember, you are in the NFBC too. If you're playing a main event, you're trying for the overall. I mean, at least I draft all my main event teams, not just trying to win the league. You know, I'm looking for a ticket to try to win the overall event in 4 or 5 main events that I'll do. So I'm not just going to go in and just try to win the league, because if you're trying to do that, you can get away with, like, you know, maybe a punting saves or you're starting pitching, you're a little weak in some areas and whatever, and that's fine. You have some good showings, you may win the league, but you're not going to win the overall like that, right? So you have to have a balanced team, and you really have to go at it from that approach. You know, as much as you might say, oh, I really want this guy right now, that's the hardest thing I had to learn over the years, and I'm a disciplined guy, you know, as a former competitive natural bodybuilder and diet, and my diets and my training and everything else from years ago, you know, but the discipline thing of just like, oh, the urge, I want to grab this guy right now, but you know, you really need to, I got to get a closer here. You know, I got to take this. You just got to let the guy go. As much as the guy's falling to you, you just have to be willing to let some guys go and say, wait a minute, let's look at my team construction right now. Is this going to be a good move? And what are the chances of a guy coming back to me that's going to fill that need? I got to take this guy. And that's what makes snake drafts so difficult. I have to, you know, people say, it's auctions and everything else. I just think snake drafts are much harder. I've done auctions. I know people love auctions. I'm not a gigantic fan because I don't have the patience. I'm not wired to sit there for 5 hours and look at my personality, you know, to do that whole thing, go back and forth. I mean, I know why people love it, but snake drafts, I think, are much harder because you can go in with a plan and your plan could be done in a round. Or 2 or 3 rounds, you're done.
Right.
Okay, shift. Time to go plan B, C, D, E, you know, and whatever in these leagues. And I think it's a much harder format to be able to be successful in a snake draft.
DVR, I jumped us ahead of you had some more MTM questions, I know. By the way, Mike the Mouth, Godfather NFBC, let's get him 1,000. You're at 7-something right now. We should get you to 1,000. You deserve it.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, I should be, obviously, I am also the most interesting man in the NFBC as well, too. I have a diverse background, many adventures in my life, many great stories that I like to tell that are all true in my life. So, you know.
I don't know if you have to put that disclaimer in there. I'm going to guess some of them aren't.
I would venture to say, if you spend a few hours, but why don't we hang out more now, though? I mean, don't you from New York? Aren't you from New York?
Yeah, I'm in West New York, New Jersey.
So why you don't give me away? We don't have each other's cell. I have DVR cell phone now, which is the worst mistake he ever made in his life. But you know, I don't have your cell phone now. You DM me your cell, and then we could just get together sometime, hang out.
Yeah, I'll DM you my cell phone.
So it'll be good times, man. We'll talk all my I tell you, if I could do a 3-hour show, just what I did in my life. You'd be amazed if I told you half the stories.
Well, tell you what, you want to Google Mike. A lot of stuff shows up, man. It's very interesting. It is very interesting. I would say that, man. Like the dental stuff, that's, I think I find that fascinating. And then your bio on that page that talks about the book and then the movie deal off the book and then just like a bunch of other stuff.
Well, there's a separate movie deal we haven't talked about yet that we want to get to in the show. I hope so. I mean, because I know Ian is involved in Hollywood, which is but I had, as a movie producer, I had a movie. I worked it back in the 80s, back way back in the good old, on the heyday of movies. And I am the movie's 80s movie expert because I've seen every 80s movie that's worth seeing about 100 times over the years, because I worked in a movie theater back in the day. It was one of the best jobs I ever had. And I just give you an idea, Nando, the one of the top movies that came out the summer that I was there, a couple summers, was Top Gun. Okay. So you want to put my age in perspective, that, you know, that's, I was a late teenager in college when Top Gun came out. Okay. So, these are great times, man. And people don't know this. The recruiters, the military recruiters, used to have a table set up in the lobby. So when people come out of that movie, they recruit people to get you all pumped
all
up and
fired watch. Up.
I'm not kidding you. I'm like, this is freaking crazy. They the Navy had a recruiting booth sitting out there in the lobby. So people would come out. Oh, this is great. Yeah, Need for Speed, man. You know, get a sign. I don't know how many guys they recruited out of Top Gun, but that's what they used to do, you know. But we used to do, like, when I used to, with the ushers, we used to do there. I mean, we used to, like, we all had sunglasses and, you know, the classic scene in Top Gun, probably a movie DVR has not seen, right? Have you seen Top Gun, DVR?
I've seen Top Gun.
Oh, great. At least you've seen that one. So I know he hasn't seen many of the classics.
DVR used to run a GeoCities website dedicated to Kelly McGillis, I think.
Oh, he did?
Is that right?
Come on, man. GeoCities is my era, but no.
What the hell you're talking about, Mono? That's way over, right over my head. But the thing is, what I used to do, we had these, my buddies all work. I got them all jobs at theater, and I was the head of ushers. That was there, chief of staff of ushers. Great job at the time when they had ushers in a movie theater. This is with the flashlights going around. That was the days they had ushers that did something in the theater, you know. So a buddy of mine wrote a script called Multiplexing, which is actually about like Animal House in a movie theater, which is a kind of all based on all the crazy stuff we did in the movies back then. And I want Ian to star in it. And I'll give you guys all a stake if Ian does the movie. So we had a lot of great.
Oh, all right.
So we can all do bit parts of the movie. Ian could be the manager. He'd be awesome in the movie. And this is legit. We had like major people attached to it. I don't know if you know Savage Steve Holland. He did Better Off Dead in One Crazy Summer. He was going to direct the movie. Came close to doing it. Danielle Panabaker. She was in The Flash. I don't know if it was the TV show The Flash. John Hader was in it. Going to do it. He was in Napoleon Dynamite and Blades of Glory. I talked to him on the phone. It was really cool. He's a really cool dude. Hillary Duff wanted to know who else was in it. We have like Taylor Negron. If you remember Taylor Negron, he was he passed away recently, unfortunately. He was Mr. Pizza Guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Did the last Boy Scout. He was one of the here. He was in that. Johnny Galecki of Big Bang Theory was looking at it. Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider wanted like $500,000 for a $3 million budget movie, and we said pass. You know, he wanted to be the star of the movie at the time. So it got pretty far in Hollywood. We just never, you know, getting movies done now much different. But I know Ian, who's got connections in Hollywood, will get this movie done, and it'll be a good time. And we'll all do cameos in the movie. So I think that's what we should.
Well, you know, here's a good test to see if he listens to the show when he's not on it.
Yeah,
Ian, hit up Mike the Mouth.
We'll see. If I get a little DM from him saying, "Hey, let's do this movie. Let's talk movie." That'll be great. Bring it to his people. So that's my movie angle.
I can't see how he wouldn't DM you at this point now. It'd be rude, I think, if he doesn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, these Hollywood types, man, they have a tendency to be a little big, you know, the ego and stuff like that. But I don't get that from Ian. I think Ian always sounds like a really cool, down-to-earth kind of guy, like a really great guy to want to hang around with, you know, good man, family man. So I think, you know, why not? Why not? Why not give a guy a shot and give him a buddy
like that? He big-timed this show. I mean, you know.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. Of course. So anyway.
All right. Ian, it's on you now, man. And the people are going to expect updates. So
I'll be back. I'll be back on a regular appearance. Now I'm going to be on, you know, throughout the baseball season on a semi-regular basis, right? DVR is like, no, shaking his head. No.
Oh, we still got 20 minutes to go. So we'll see.
That's it. That could happen. That could go wrong in 20 minutes. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Quite a bit could still go wrong.
Mike, I still think you should do a show with War Dog, man. I think that'd be a good show. I think you two play off each other pretty well.
You think so?
Yeah. You're both high stakes guys. Why not?
Yeah, too, I don't know. If, you know, you want to have conflicting personalities. I think it'd be better. You know, people that are the same. You know what I mean? So I think
aren't you a little conflicted? Yeah, but I mean, that's. I think there would be a lot of conflict. I assume you disagree on a bunch of players.
No, it's straight. I'm not the other players. Just like you need a straight man. You need a good straight man. See, DVR would be a good partner for me because he's a straight man. You know, too. So I did a podcast, like a comedy podcast back in the day. You know, that's what I almost got kicked out of college for. As a matter of fact, I was almost booted out of college. I was brought up on charges for human rights violations back then. Think about that. How many of you can say on your college record that you were brought up in front of the judicial board for human rights violations? It sounds pretty severe, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
From comedy.
Yeah, for a cop. Think about that. You want to talk about about that? It was a little rough. That I'll never forget. I was the subject of the longest judicial board trial in the history of my college. So it was a great, great time back then. You should know, my parents are very proud. Back in the day when that happened, but thank God for the First Amendment, because I dodged that bullet big time. At that time. But I told you, see, I, the most interesting man, I could tell you 100 stories. You would never believe any of them. Every one of them was true. Thankfully, all those records burned in a fire about several years later.
Oh. Mysterious fire.
Like a mysterious fire that I had nothing to do with whatsoever. But in the university, so all those records of the tapes of that thing are gone. So the whole thing lost for good. So, that is all true, by the way. That is all true.
I think I could believe that. I believe we could play. We could believe it or not, if you'd like.
You couldn't tell. You'd never get it right.
I know. It's all right. Yeah. I think you did ride, you know, between two camels once, like Jean-Claude Van Damme in that commercial. Yeah, I could see that.
True.
DVR, you want to hit the end game of your MTM draft? Do you want to bounce around a little bit? Do you want to talk about, I don't know, Alejandro Kirk, Ty France?
Yeah, let's get some broader stuff in here, right?
That was under the radar for broader stuff.
You're skipping. That didn't make the top 10, Alejandro Kirk. There was like 10.
Well, it did when it was written.
Yeah, the way it was written.
And then when it was edited, somehow made it to the section that says we're never going to get to this.
A lot of editing on this show.
In post-production, I can only imagine what this show's going to be shot down to. By the time DVR's going to get out, he's going to take a couple of aspirin. He's going to be grabbing his head going, I got to edit this disaster today, whatever. So come on.
It's going to be Welcome Under the Radar, award-winning Derek Van Riper. Thanks for joining us, everybody. That's
it was nice knowing you, DVR. Great job. And what's going to happen when management listens to the show and they call DVR into the office, you know, after they listen to the show?
They'll say, hey, thanks for having such a great guy on the show. They're going to call, hey, DVR, did he ever call Mike? That's the conversation. Yeah,
that'll be the question I get at the end of the week.
All right, fine. Well, let's go broad and talk David Price. How's that for broad and boring?
What's your question?
Are we going to stay away from a bunch of the Dodgers? Because they got to have a six-man rotation, right? Or at least bring guys in and out I don't think anyone's going to hit. Maybe Bauer because he'll cry about it, but like, who else is going to hit 170 innings?
Looking at DVR's draft board now, I mean, I liken his drafting style to, you know, Miguel Sano. There's a lot of swing and miss in his game. Okay, that's what it, when you look at his draft, you know, because it starts to fall apart. You know, you're taking all these big risks. You went Judge, then you go back with Sonny Gray, who I am not 100% convinced with is going to be. You know, do you think he's going to put back those 2019 numbers again? Yeah, that one huge year. You think he's going to be back the way he was? I don't know, man. Then he had those blow-ups toward the end of the year. There's a reason why the Reds are trying to unload him a little bit. They want to get off that train before it goes off the tracks completely. I'm not sure about Sonny Gray.
Reds changed pitching coaches, too.
I don't see him going back to that level. And you're down Alvarez. Yeah, guy's a masher. I mean, if he hits, he's back to himself again. And that's a 300, you know, 30, 35 guy. It's phenomenal. But, you know, DH and, you know, he's running on a treadmill, whatever. I want to see it. You know, I mean, so you got that. Then you got Chris Bryant, another boomer bust guy. And then you back up two of my favorite players ever of David Price and Josh Donaldson. You know, I mean, you're asking for it, DVR, with these picks. You're just asking for it. I mean, David Price, he's another industry darling. I don't get it. What do you guys all go to the same club, you know, and just talk these guys up and say, hey, we're going to go talk about these same players out on, I don't know, you know.
I don't like David Price. Don't lump me in with them.
He's 35, going to be 36 years old. The guy took the year off. He may take the year off again, right? He was on the decline beforehand. He's going to be on not pitch. It may be a six-man rotation. What are you looking for David Price at that point? What's going to happen with him?
I'm looking for a high 3 ERA, good whip, good strikeout rate. It was there in 2019 before the injury ended that season on him. He was pitching really well in his last season in Boston. So I was really excited about him going into last year. Obviously, he ended up opting out. We didn't get to see him pitch at all. How those guys all come back, guys that didn't pitch last year, is really a big question. Are they going to come back more refreshed than the guys that ramped up, stopped, ramped up, went through the season? I really don't know. The problem here, I mean, this was a month ago. This was before Bauer was there. I think now that Bauer is there, it does impact other members of the rotation just because Bauer is going to start every fifth day. Kershaw is going to start every fifth day as long as he's healthy. Buehler is going to start every fifth day. They can mess around with Urias. They can mess around with Price. They can mix in Gonsolin and May. Gonsolin and May, of course, lose their spots right now. So even if it's like a secondary sort of downgrade, it's still a downgrade for Price having Bauer there just because the workload has to come down compared to where it would have been when I drafted him. It's just belief in the skills in general, though. Long track record of being a very good pitcher. I always end up with one or two guys like that every single time. I think at the generally healthy end, we'll say, David Price. At the always broken end, James Paxton. Like one of those guys ends up on my teams every single draft. And I can't help myself. I can't stop because the projections are so good. Like Paxton's projections are so good that he could have forearm injuries 5 years running and a back injury, and I'll look at it and go, oh, that projection's so good.
That's the problem with you guys in the industry, man. It's too much projections and not enough reality, all right, at this point. How has that served you in the NFBC main event? How many main events are you going to do this year, DVR?
One.
What, Nando, how many NFBC main events are you going to do this year?
Oh, zero, man. I don't have that kind of money.
Oh, come on, bro. Kid.
I can't. Come on, man. I got baby clothes to buy.
I'll send you some baby clothes.
I'm in draft champions.
Yeah, I got a lot. So, I mean, look, you could at least do this. Do one this year. When I put up my special promo code, I'm going to be put up some money for you. Take advantage of that code. You can use it. and get at least one main event team this year. You have to
do it. You're not buying teams though, right? You're giving like, it's like a Mike the Mouth discount.
Exactly.
Right?
But it's still money is not coming out of your pocket if that's the case. So
well, that's true.
You know, at this point, but so let me ask you a question, DVR. I'm going to put it right out to you. Who would you rather have? Who's going to have a better year and put up better numbers by the end of the year? Who would you rather have? Would you rather have David Price or Dustin May?
I'd actually take Price over May for 2021 only.
This is why you will not win. Okay. And that team, all right. Because you, again, chose the wrong player. Right? I mean, Dustin May, okay, is a tweak away from being like dominant, right? And if he makes that adjustment, right, and the strikeout rate matches up with his stuff, right? Putting guys away. Then you think he's not going to pitch? The guy's going to put I'll bet you, even if he doesn't start, you know, as much a full contingent of stars this year, he will finish the year with better numbers than David Price. I'm going to go out there and say that right now, by far.
I would even go, can't you just say like Logan Allen or David Price? Like, cause it seems like those are two pitchers heading in totally different directions. You know what I mean? Like do you want the guy who's old and is kind of whatever, or do you want the guy who's probably going to start for the Indians and has been a top minor leaguer for a while? Well, top ranked minor leaguer.
Where do you get these players from, Nando? You have not mentioned a single player that I would even consider drafting yet in this entire show.
So you're saying you'll take David Price over Logan Allen?
It'd be different, say, if he said Cal Quantrill, maybe, right? But he says Logan Allen. You know, that's what you came up with is Logan Allen.
What's the difference between Logan Allen and Cal Quantrill, really?
One's really good. Cal Quantrill's good. That's the difference.
One sucks and one doesn't, okay?
Logan Allen is, all right, hey, look, we could talk about this.
No, maybe you shouldn't take a main event team, right? Put that money out there.
Maybe no, Vicaro, sponsor me.
Go partner with Vicaro again. Help you out.
I think I'm just going to get a bunch of emojis that, you know, that the hand slap on the forehead from Vicaro after he listens to this.
Yeah. Vicaro, who's drafting, you know, drafting kickers for his baseball team, you know, one round. I'm wondering why he can't get them. I'm just going to say, Price. And look, the other thing is a mental aspect of these players too. You have to go deep in some of these guys. I mean, some of these like Syndergaard, you know, guy's got all the talent in the world, but he's a freaking head case, man. The guy's a head case. Right. He's just a head case. He's got a problem going on right there, you know? And I want to draft the guy as a Mets fan too. And now coming off of, Tommy John, forget it right this year, but still, you know, and then you got a guy like Price, you know, younger, still relatively young, opts out of the season. He's talked about before the season even started opting out again. What is he playing for at this stage of the game? Or a guy who's got like 1 foot in retirement and went out the door, like a Charlie Morton, you know, you see all these initials. Oh, I'm jumping all over Charlie Morton. Yeah, you are. I mean, this is his last year. He's got his millions. What does he care at that stage of the game?
Can't you say Price like looked at like a year with a prorated salary and just be like, hey, this is my shot to like rest my arm for a year and then come back and pitch another three seasons instead of grinding out a 60-game season that might or might not like end?
Rest his arm, as I tell you. You have to rest your arm. How good is he going to do over the course of the season?
You know, people need a vacation every now and then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so do I. I wish I had that ability to just take that time off. Oh, let's take the year off.
Well, he gave up what? That's $12 million he gave up by not pitching last year, exactly. Too, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's why you can't take a year off, Nando. It'd be like, $500 if you took a year off.
Well, no, I can't mess with that. I take my week off around Christmas.
Well, how much does the Athletic pay, DVR? I saw they're hiring. Is there a job for me at the Athletic? What do you think? Can I get a job? Or what if I have my own, show on the Athletic? Maybe you should go there and pitch a show that you're going to add MTM to the lineup at the Athletic. So what do you think? You put the good word in for me for corporate or
no? Yeah, DVR, will you do that?
Yeah, I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, right. That'll last till we're off the air. It's all over.
Mike, we got to wrap it up. Actually, we got to go. We hit our bottom of the hour hard out. We do have 4 minutes, so if there's anything you want to throw in there very quickly, feel free.
That's it, DVR. I thought I was going to get the bonus 20 minutes today. No, I'm only getting you got me up at this hour of the morning to do the show. And I'm getting the hard stop at this point.
where do you live in Hawaii?
Yeah, I'm a night person, man. I'm a late guy. You know, I mean, I have to be up late. You know, that's my drafting time, and to be able to cover the whole country, I'm up late East Coast time. You know, but anyway, the thing I want to talk about is the big promo code. If you go to the NFBC, I've set up money in my account which they're going to take out, and this is a limited time offer. It's $100 off every main event team if you put in MTM Athletic. That's the promo code. If you go to MTM Athletic when you go to checkout at the NFBC, to get a main event team this year, you will get $100 off coming out of my pocket. And that's until the money runs out, because I am independently wealthy and a filthy miser. So I put this money aside, and I have let people will drain that account, and it's on the account right now, and it comes out of my account. So that is a bold move, wouldn't you say, DVR?
That is a bold move.
Okay, Mondo?
I would say creating a promo code and dropping it on the podcast like that with The Athletic in there is very bold.
Is that pretty cool? Pretty cool, or what? You know, I think it's nice of the NFBC to do that, guys. It's good promo for you guys. It's going to drive more guys to the NFB. Wait, because people should. If you guys compete in the competition, all kidding aside, right, Derek and Fernando, it's a great competition. You know, and those guys do a great.
I love time. It. And we did a cut line with them for all of our subscribers last year, which we'll probably do. I mean, I assume we'll do it again this year because it was fun. Like, cut lines, my favorite format in the whole, like, you don't have to do anything during the season. I'm a big cut line fan. I think we had a ton of people play at NFBC. So you're talking to people who know what it is. So maybe they'll take your money. Take Mike's money.
Take my money. And if you're in my draft, if you end up in my draft, I might even bump it up to 200. Well, because especially if you're an industry guy, I'd love to see.
Why? Because it's going to come back to you. Is that the thinking?
Because it's going to come back to my pocket.
It's going to come back in your pocket.
Like, I'm just going to take the promo code right now. If it's 200, I mean, geez, that hey, makes Dad, an impact.
DVR Athletic, use that code, gets you the whole thing for free out of his pocket. So maybe try that one first.
Let's not confuse people. It's MTM. Okay. And again, I don't know how long it's going to run out. I told them, I gave them a hard cutoff because there's only so much money to go around. But if they hear the show and you go sign up, even if you haven't signed up yet, if you're a veteran player, especially if you're a new player, I mean, try it out. Take one main event team, you know, split it five ways, do Nando, you know, get partner with Nando, DM him. And let him, get him with his clothes, and you can get on with him.
Sounds like a plan. I got to run it by my boss, Chris Vaccaro. Make sure that's okay. Anyway, thank you, Mike the Mouth, for joining us, man. This is awesome and fun. Godfather NFBC on Twitter. We got to go. Sorry about that. It's time.
All right, boys. Thanks, man.
For the guy who is going to be editing the show all night long, Derek Van Riper.
Yes, thank you, Mike. We appreciate you coming on the show.
For the man who wants to introduce the word multiplexing to the rest of the world, Mike the Mouth.
Thank you, boys. Good times. And looking forward to doing it again sometime soon, maybe with Ian.
Thank you all for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you again next time. Bye.